Well, hello. How's it going?
Good, Mike. How are you doing today?
Good. Here's another episode of Between Two Racks with Mike and Sean.
It's been a while. We've been giving her, eh?
Absolutely. We actually just kind of threw this in almost at the last moment. We're both very busy, but it was kind of fitting because it's the end of the spring bear season for me.
Yeah, I've been pretty busy, eh? Had a good season?
Yeah, it was good. It was really good. We had quite a few hunters, and everybody went home pretty damn happy, I think.
Wasn't too hot this year, at least, eh?
Some days were, we had a couple days that were pretty warm, and then, of course, you just adjust your hunting accordingly.
Yeah. Man, I seen a smoker bear at work the other day.
Yeah?
Yeah, big brown one. There was two. Actually, well, there was three. There was a little black sow, a big black, and a big brown, and they were chasing her all over the place. We watched them for about 15 minutes there.
Really? So you figure it was two boars and a sow?
I'm guessing, yeah.
Wow. And did they fight?
No. I'm sure they probably would have if we... They kind of went into a thicket there and we lost interest. We had to get back to work, so...
Cool. It did seem this year, I don't know if it was... Things were definitely different. Like, mm-hmm. I noticed out there that things were just a little bit different from years previous, and I don't know if that had to do with maybe, you know, we had a bit of a wetter spring up here, and so there was maybe more grass growing in the trees, but we had to work a lot harder. The bears were still there. The numbers are there. You know, the numbers have never been better as far as black bears are concerned, but... I just noticed it was different out there.
Yeah. That higher elevation areas seem to be like really, really behind in, you know, like the growing I noticed anyways.
Yeah, we noticed that as well.
Yeah, so it definitely would make for some good later season.
Yeah, but even the rut, like, you know, like I just noticed that it was a way more hit and miss. Like we've seen typically during the rut, which obviously runs basically the end of May and into the beginning of June there, normally we see better pairing than what I did. I mean, we obviously, you know, we use the rut to our advantage and start looking for those sows and boars. And it's just similar to a moose rut or a deer rut or whatever. You can really read the signs of a good boar and see what he's kind of up to and what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And it just seemed like this year, even the marking was just down. I really, really pay attention to the marking, and it didn't seem to be there as strong this year. So maybe it was a bit later, you know. It's been kind of a funny weather year as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been different. We could definitely use a little bit of sun now, I think. We're getting plenty of moisture.
Yeah, and, you know, we did notice, like you were saying, up high, you know, when we'd hunt. Typically, when we start hunting up high, we know that, for the most part, any bear we run into is going to be a good one. It's not going to be a dink. So we'll hunt those areas. You seem to have to hunt them a little bit harder, and you're not seeing the numbers.
Yeah.
So if you hunt something a little bit lower, low land, lots more green up. We see a lot of sows and cubs and a lot of 2 and 3 year olds and younger bears with the opportunity of seeing a larger boar as well. But we definitely, you know, up there, we've seen that it was a little bit behind, but down low, you know, in those valley bottoms and stuff, boy, it was green all the way even through the trees. Like it just gave them a lot of feed.
Well, I, you know, now that this bug kill's gone through and the trees are, you know, you notice there's a lot more grass in the timber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've got a certain amount of time that they're going to use that.
Yeah.
Because once that starts to blow down, mm-hmm. That just creates a bit of a fence. I mean, they can mm-hmm. go over it, and if they're mm-hmm. forced to do it, they're going to do it. Yeah. And it's a bear. They're going to go wherever they want to go anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Well, we're going to go Tuesday, I think. We're going to give it one more day. Amy still wants a... try and get a brown bear. So
good.
We're gonna, I don't know,
good it. I got some ideas. We'll go over some ideas. We had one right at the end of the hunt here, mm-hmm. That we went back up into some of our higher country. We did a lot of glassing, and I just happened to look over my shoulder up towards the top, and we had an injured bear, a very pretty, real blonde with kind of chocolate paws, but he was injured. He isn't walking around on one back foot. So we watched him for a while. Really good sized bear. In mm-hmm. fact, the classic it might be a grizz. Yeah. You know, that actually came to mind because when we seen them up top, of course, with the sun and the way everything, you know, they always kind of glow and shine, especially when they're that light. But he's, you know, he's a solid six, maybe better.
Yeah.
Like he's, yeah, he's a solid bear.
She's not, you know, a six, six would be good. She just wants a really nice hide. So yeah.
No, he's, and you know, it was kind of embarrassing. Because we'd put on a couple of other stocks and, you know, we had just things going wrong, whether it was the wind. As you know, just because you see a bear doesn't mean you're, you know, if you're covering some ground to get to them, for one, they can just walk out of your life.
Yeah.
The wind can change. A bunch of other things can happen. And in this case, we were watching them and I kind of jinxed the entire thing because I looked at the hunter and I said, you know, if we screw this one up like this, that's horrible.
Yeah.
Is a handicapped bear.
Yeah.
Right? Like to the right of him is blowdown, like it's waist high. He's not going through there, you know, and he's at the top of this hill and the wind's blowing down to us. We got everything in our favor and he's handicapped. Right? Like he was hobbling so bad that from a distance with the naked eye, you could see that he wasn't. So we don't really know, of course, because this bear, we were not able to get him.
Yeah.
Again, a little interesting story I'll tell you about in a minute. But, you know, we could see that visibly from, man, it was like 800 yards or something. Like It was a long ways away. And when you watched him moving, he was hobbling that bad. So we don't really know what the injury was. Maybe somebody, you know, made a bad shot on him or something. We don't really know. It was definitely the back right. There was no doubt about that. We could watch him and see that. So
We'll have to go check that out.
Yeah. Well, we put a go on him. We got to the top of the hill. Of course, he somewhat disappeared, but I mean, geez, the bear can barely move.
Yeah.
He'd move quicker in a wheelchair up there. So we you know, kind of, it was either peak over the hill and there was one little ravine. There was one tiny little ravine just before it went into a bunch of reproduction area. And so I pointed out, you know, I had a helper there. Brent was there. And so he kind of gave me a hand as well. And so I said, well, you guys peek over, but pay attention because I'm just going to sneak over to the edge here and take a look down. And so that's what I did. And yeah, I ended up about 30 feet from the bear. And so he was just down in the bottom of this ravine feeding and I got a really good look at him. So I backed off and I started, you know, the classic waving your hands, you know, jumping up and down, you know, everything except for throwing shit at him. And I could see these guys scanning from side to side and looking for where this bear, but nobody ever looked over their shoulder. And I'm jumping up and down and I finally made my way almost on top of him. And I'm like, what else do I got to do? What do I got to do? You got to look back at me once in a while. And so I said, he's right there. He's right there. He's right there. He's a couple feet from us. And so I made my way back up to where I was. And the hunter, he kind of came in from a slightly different angle from the angle that I was at. Again, he was right there. Mm-hmm. And, but he was making his way up this little bank. I don't know what it was, maybe 10, 12 feet high. And, literally, he, you know, with no back leg, he just about drug himself up there and we couldn't get in position for a shot.
Oh, wow.
So he made those trees and he didn't even know we were there. It was so sad, you know, but, you know, that we were that close and weren't able to make a count. And you know, without a doubt, not only was he a great bear and a good specimen, but he was injured. And you know, if we do get an opportunity, not knowing the extent of his injury, if it's a bear that a hunter's going to be happy with, then I'm thrilled.
Yeah,
you know, they may heal up from these things, and otherwise it's just going to be a, you know, prolonged kind of march towards death. Yeah. So it was kind of a little bit bummed, but then on top of that, you know, it was kind of, well, you know what, he got away on us, maybe he's going to be okay. So yeah, it was all cool.
Right on. Yeah. Well, we seen lots of bears, but nothing that we wanted to take, you know. We were seeing, you know, a dozen bears a day, the days we were out, but, you know, sows and cubs and smaller guys and stuff like that. And so, yeah. We got out a few times with the dogs. That was fun.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was thinking, you know what, when things get dry and just the action seems to, I mean, we all know that bear hunting can be I mean, days and days of boredom followed by 30 seconds of sheer, you know, excitement. Yeah. And so on those days of kind of boredom where you're, you know, you're seeing the odd bear here and there, but just really nothing that exciting is happening, my mind would kind of drift towards the dogs and what that would be like.
Well, I've noticed just by looking at pictures and stuff of other outfitters, and there's it's starting to, you know, they're starting to throw in.
Yeah, I'm seeing more that. Dog I'm seeing that as well.
Yeah.
I'm starting to see that more and more.
So definitely, it's, you know, man, you go chase bears in the morning and spot and stalk in the afternoon, you know.
Yeah, no, I think so. It's something that we're gonna have to look at. It's something we can add to our game.
Yeah, you betcha. What else? I seen another big one too.
Oh,
out past your way there.
Oh yeah. You mentioned him.
I tried to get on him with my recurve, but it just didn't happen. It was shitty wind and that. So, and he's too smart for me. I was actually a little bit worried. What if I actually do get into range with this big sucker? Like, it was one of the biggest bears I've seen in a long time. He did, you know.
Well, definitely. That's a good thing to think about. I mean, just because they're black bears doesn't mean they're not going to, you know, turn on you once they get whacked.
Yeah. You know, my effective distance with that recurve is 20 yards and under. So that's pretty close.
Yeah, it's up close and personal, right?
So. Yeah.
You let go of that arrow, you want to stay real still.
Yeah. So anyways, that didn't work out.
Well, we had an archery guy this year, and one of the very few guys that actually went home without a bear, however, wants to turn around and rebook. Yeah, I mean, when it's spot and stalk and you've got to cover that distance, it's not as kind of guaranteed, I would say, as baiting.
Like, yeah.
You know, I think, and that's, he had no interest in shooting from a tree stand. He wanted to get out there and be at their level and put the, you know, put the walk on them and see if he could cover the distance, and which we did do. But we just had a bunch of very odd things happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, our bears here, I think you would agree, are not exactly completely educated when it comes to, you know, hunters being out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, so, you know, as far as it goes to a bear that has learned to dodge arrows,
mm-hmm.
like a whitetail, I mean, that's just not even a,
mm-hmm.
that's not a thing. But I did witness, we spotted a good bear, and I think he was out there at, when we first ranged him, it was around the 450 yard mark. And so we put the sneak on him, and he was feeding his way up a old logging road. And you know, we came to a good spot, and I let the hunter move a little bit closer to him, and he was 55 yards. And I mean, this is a guy that can shoot, you know, into a block 80 yards all day long. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a good shot. So when the bear came out, he was feeding. But what we noticed is that when the hunter drew back, he caught that movement.
Oh yeah,
he didn't go anywhere. He just stood there broadside and just looked his direction. And I will forever have this etched in my head watching that arrow fly, because he had the little, you know, the little lighted knock.
Yeah.
So it's an evening hunt. It's a bright green knock, and you're shooting towards a black bear. Like, everything was great. So in my memory, I'll remember this forever, because it seemed to take forever. It's only 55 yards, but when he released that arrow, it, you know, it went through its arc, and as it traveled towards the bear, it was just so slow. And it's crazy how it looked. Well, the bear, he simply reacted from the sound of the string.
Yeah.
But he dropped his ass, threw his nose up in the air, and although he was pointed right, he spun left.
Oh, yeah.
And this arrow... He did like some crazy ass Matrix move. Like, it was nuts. He was suddenly Neo. Like, yeah, he was amazing. And I thought that was impossible. Like, there's no way. And that arrow went so close to him, I swear it cut hair.
Oh, really?
And then the bear did the old and was gone.
Yeah.
He said, "Do you think he's going to stop?" I said, "I don't think so." So, and then we found another great bear. He was on a great feeding area. He really didn't want to leave. So I thought, we got this one.
Yeah.
Like, this one we got. Because this is, he knows we're here. But he's got like his little piece of heaven or paradise. And he doesn't want to leave it for nothing. So basically we got into his bubble, which he didn't care for. And the hunter went up along. He was just a little, I don't know what he was. He was probably 15 yards from me. And we went up along one side of a logging road, and then it kind of dropped off on the other side. It was a bit of a drop off where this where this bear was feeding. And anyway, as he made his way across the road to get to where he could get a better shot, he made a bit of noise in the gravel. Mm-hmm. And that was enough that just made the bear feel a little bit uneasy.
Yeah.
So he moved downhill. That's all he did. He just went that far. So once he went that far, we thought, okay, well, you know, he's going to move out of range. And anyway, he looked right back up at us.
Yeah.
And typically the way I will go out dressed and geared up is so I kind of look like a bear, whether that's with my black vest or t-shirt or whatever it is. And I'll use that at times. And, mm-hmm. and in this case here, the hunter was well camoed up and but the bear could clearly see me peek over the hill at him.
Yeah.
And he got snorty about it.
Yeah.
He was kind of pissy. And so he made a bunch of kind of aggressive sounds and movements.
Yeah.
And when I made some of them back, of course he came towards us.
Yeah.
He wasn't happy about giving up this happy little feeding area. So he stopped at the bottom of the hill and stood up on this blowdown. And anyway, the hunter quickly took a range. He said, I got him.
Yeah.
Like, I got him. I said, well, you got him, man. Take him. And the bear was giving us a full frontal huffing and puffing with his, chest exposed and up on this log and showing us how big he was. And he drew back and let that arrow fly. And it could have been because of the distance the arrow traveled downhill. It seemed to go 1,000 miles an hour. Like it just flew so fast. Whang!
Yeah.
And smack. Right into the log that the bear was standing on. So again,
gone.
Do you think he's going to stop? I don't think so.
Nah.
So, just because you put a stock on a bear doesn't mean it's a dead bear.
Mm-hmm.
So we put a couple more stocks on. He had a great, great time. And it just didn't work out. And that's not typical, for us, but it does happen. It's hunting. It's not just killing.
Yep.
So yeah, he's looking forward to coming back. He's already talking about some of the other animals he wants to come up here and hunt.
Awesome. Awesome.
So
cool. Well, it sounds like you guys had a really good spring and, now we work on fall stuff.
Yeah. There's a lot of preparations to get ready before the fall hunts start here. And they've definitely been stacking up as well. So we're excited to get started, including our own fall hunts, hopefully here.
Yeah. Yeah. So we got our LEH results back what we did is Mike and Karen, his wife, and myself and my wife, Amy, we put in for a group moose and we drew our moose tag. So we get two moose tags between the four of us. And that's not until November. We did it late because just hoping it wouldn't interfere with the guiding and stuff. So yeah,
no.
It's going to be fun. And it's in our own local zone, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
I'm excited.
Well, you live in, you're in the zone. Well, we both live in the zone, but I'm about 10-minute drive to where I can hunt, and Mike is
right in.
Yeah, you can shoot a moose off your deck if he steps out. So
yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be that lucky. But yeah, I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be the end of the season. No pressure. There's, the moose numbers that we're seeing out there anyway in that particular region are good. So
yeah.
I think we're going to do well.
Oh, it's awesome. I haven't had a draw in that area in like 20 years.
Yeah, no, I haven't had one in a long time. So. In fact, Karen, she got one here. It's got to have been like...
The kids were just little.
Yeah,
eh?
They were just little.
Yeah.
And she got one. So yeah.
We're not quite like the States. We do get, it's not a once in a lifetime opportunity. Like some of the moose tags down
right.
The States, you hear guys, it's once in a lifetime.
And that's if they're lucky.
Sometimes. Yeah, yeah. So we do get a little more than that, but sometimes it feels like a lifetime.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we are lucky up here though. We do get, there is general seasons, so we can hunt moose in areas. Like we just have to travel a little ways.
That's right. Yeah. If you're willing to travel a bit here in BC.
We got a lot of general
yeah.
tags that would be considered a once in a lifetime.
Absolutely. Thing. Absolutely. I don't know. Which brings me to one of your other hunts. So you're headed up after sheep?
We're going to go up for stone sheep. Yeah. Buddy from work. He's never been on any kind of hunt like that. Anything backcountry or backpack, anything like that. So we've decided to go up. We're going to do a week up north there.
Cool.
It's going to be a quick, you know, week's not very long.
Not for a sheep hunt, no.
No, but that's all we can squeeze in. So we're going to go do it. We got a couple of spots. The one spot we've picked, or where we've decided to go, I just found out that there's a big big washout. The road's washed out, so we might not be able to get into there because it's about a, I don't know, 40-kilometer quad ride.
Right.
And then you hike from there.
Right.
So I got to do some research and find out.
Yeah.
See. But it's not the only spot, so we got other spots we can go.
I mean, this is British Columbia.
Yeah. Yeah. We were going to go up by like the Finley River and that.
Yeah.
But we just, I don't know, thought that might be a little, it's all gravel and.
Right.
I have to take 4 extra spare tires.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, yeah. You go back through in those roads and you travel for a long ways on rough gravel roads.
Nothing around. So.
No, nobody to help you.
But that's not that big of an issue, but we kind of wanted to hunt sheep, and you got to go quite a ways up there, I think, to get into some sheep
area. No, right? You're absolutely right.
So.
You're not going to hunt them from the start of the road.
Being a first-time guy, I thought, well, we'll go around the other side there. And, you know, you can day hunt right off the highway and get sheep. So.
Wow.
And then for an added bonus, I put in for a grizzly tag up there, and we drew that too.
Cool.
So we weren't, the grizzly wasn't really in the plans. I just figured since there was a draw there, put in and maybe get a extra tag in the pocket. So now we got a grizzly tag too.
Cool. So so what else are you gonna have in open season then? So are you up there during any other
caribou is open.
Cool.
Early caribou. So
that would be a good thing.
Yeah, that's a 5-point bull. Yeah. Bigger. Moose, but I'm not really into, unless a guy sees a nice one.
Yeah, they're going to be
standing beside the truck.
But that's going to, and that's going to be, you know, early season velvet bulls.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So good eating, but hard to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. It's going to be hot. I might have to borrow one of your big Yetis, pack some ice.
Yeah. We can do that for sure.
What else? Caribou, moose. I would take a nice caribou, though.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Sheep, goat's not open. It opens later, but we'll be gone.
Right.
We're going to go in the middle of August. That's our time that we can get away.
Right.
Oh, Amy. Sounds like Amy's home. what else? I think that's it.
Yeah.
I
think we're sort of caught up for right now. We've got a bunch more that we're hopefully going to bring to the show here.
Things are starting to move forward with our podcasts.
Yeah.
So.
Hopefully they'll get better and better. So one thing that we should say again before we sign off here is the show was once again brought to you by Big Country Outfitters,
Antler Springs Skulls and Mounts,
and Mike Jones Knife and Tools.
Yeah, you betcha.
All right, till next time, man. Stay hard.
Okay, you bet.